In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. When I was attending Seabury Western Theological Seminary many years ago, hanging over the fireplace in Seabury Lounge, there was a nearly life-size photograph of a gnarly, wizened old man in cassock, surplice, and stole. Most of you can't see this. I'm holding this up so you remind me to bring it back so I can show it to you as you leave. It's a wonderful picture. His face had been darkened by a life out of doors. His eyes seemed to follow you as you moved around the room. If you read the small sign next to the photograph, you would have found that his name is Enmagabo, and he was the first American Indian to be ordained to the Episcopal priesthood way back in 1867. It was Enmagabo who would accompany Bishop Whipple. Sidebar, Enmagabo called Bishop Whipple Bishop Fishhooks because he just loved to fish, and whenever they were trying to go from one place to another, Whipple kept getting out his fishing pole and fishing, and Enmagabo thought, it's taking us too much time. Anyway, Bishop Whipple was the famous missionary bishop to the Lakota Sioux, and Enmagabo served as translator and agent in the Indian lands of the upper Midwest. It was Enmagabo who would invite James Lloyd Breck to the wilds of Minnesota to start a mission at Gull Lake, and eventually to found Seabury Divinity School, a seminary for Native Americans and one of the progenitors of Seabury Western Theological Seminary, my alma mater. Seabury School and Western School came together. And Enmagabo was a good Christian, a man of peace, and a man of two worlds. His faith would be tested many times in his life. I became fascinated with his life and read as much as I could about him, and I found that his story was wonderfully and amazingly similar to another man of God, who was also a man of two worlds, a man we heard about in our first lesson this morning, Moses. Whatever we read or hear Scripture, we should do it expectantly, attentively, and humbly. We should expect to find God lurking in and through the words. We should attend fully and carefully to the words that we read. And we should be humble with our conclusions and observations. To be honest, we must admit to ourselves that we don't always approach Scripture in this way. And we really should. To learn to experience life with God is to change the way we see the world and the way we behave in it. Recently, here, I've been leading an adult formation class, Does God Have a Big Toe? And part of that class is a midrash on stories that we've heard in the Bible. Eventually, we will hear a midrash on Moses, but I would like to share my own midrash on the story of Moses. Because of my love for Enmagabo, I took his story and Moses' story and wove them together in a tale. And the historical parts of this, the relatively obvious parts, are true. The vision that is in the midst of it is, of course, of my creation. It's my hope that hearing this story of Moses in a different way, it will open your hearts and minds to the story of Moses and perhaps a broader view of God's action in the world. Since Enmagabo is an Indian, this is an Indian story, but don't let that fool you. This story is no more about Indians than the parable of the fig tree we heard this morning was about gardening. Among other things, this story is a story that reminds us of the great truth that God speaks to us all the time, in many different ways, if we have but the patience to listen. So in short, I invite you to listen expectantly, attentively, and humbly for God. The tale of one who stands before his people. A certain man of the Ottawa tribe married an Ottawa woman, and she conceived and bore a son. The son was beautiful to behold and the joy of her hearth, and the Ottawa woman named him One Who Stands Before His People. Now the people were encamped at that time in the great land of Ontario, near the white village of Peterborough. And as the son grew in stature, he came to the attention of a white medicine man, and the man persuaded his Ottawa parents to allow him to come home with him, to be raised along with the medicine man's other three sons. The medicine man called the boy John Johnson. Now, John was a very shrewd boy, and in 3 moons he had learned the speech and writing of the white man. One day, the white medicine man told him of the great spirit of the white man and how the son of the great spirit came down from heaven and dwelt among the people. John thought it strange that the great spirit would have children and that they should come down from heaven. And so he went out to a hill to sit and to think about it. As the sun set, the boy stayed up to watch as the sky darkened, and one by one the stars appeared. But soon a cloud rising out of the west blotted out the stars, and a great thunderstorm came. The rain fell, and a mighty wind shook the trees. John Johnson saw the strength of the Great Spirit and was afraid. He fled the village of the white man and returned to the Ottawa encampment. Many years passed, and some time after that, when John Johnson had grown up and had married, he went for a walk in the white village with his wife, Iron Sky Woman. And one of the white men of that village insulted his wife, and John knocked the man down and held him while Iron Sky Woman gave the man a sound beating. When it was over, John was frightened and fled the village with his family, escaping to the south. He arrived in the land of the Ojibwa and settled by a lake that is called Place of the Little Gulls. Though a stranger, he quickly endeared himself to the people living there. And before the year was out, he had joined their tribe. Now it is winter, the time of contemplation, and John was alone by the great river seeking a vision. The sun had gone down, but the moon was full and shone brightly on the snow-covered forest. The night was very still, and the water sang to John as he waited. A wolf appeared suddenly, standing in the river in front of him, and the silver moonlight blazed in the rippling water about the wolf's feet. And the wolf said, "One who stands before his people, one who stands before his people." And the man replied, "Here I am." The breath of the wolf smoked as it continued, "I am the great spirit of your fathers, the great spirit of the Ottawa and the Ojibwa, the great spirit of the red man and the white, the great mystery of all people." And one who stands before his people was again afraid and hid his face so he would not have to look at the Great Spirit. And the Great Spirit continued, "I have marked the plight of my red children and have heeded their outcry because of the white man. Yes, I am mindful of their sufferings. I have come down to rescue them from the tyranny of the white man. Come, therefore, I will send you to the white men, and you will free them all from their tyranny. And one who stands before his people said to the Great Spirit, who am I that you would send me to the white man? And the wolf snorted as the Great Spirit replied, I will be with you. That shall be your sign that it was I who sent you. And when the people are freed, you shall all worship the Great Spirit rightly. Then one who stands before his people said to the Great Spirit, when I come to the Ojibwa and the Sioux and say, the Great Spirit has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And the wolf yipped impatiently as the Great Spirit said, I am who I am. Tell them Wakantanka has sent me to you. And the Great Spirit said further to one who stands before his people, thus you shall say to the people, I am the Great Spirit of your fathers, the Great Spirit of the Ojibwa and the Sioux, the great mystery of the Rainbow People. I have taken note of you and what is being done to you. And I have declared, I will take you out of the misery you suffered from the white man. But one who stands before his people spoke up and said, what if they do not believe me? I have been long among the white men, and some may say I have left the path of the red man. And the wolf leapt from the river and landed on the bank in front of him. The huge animal gave a great shake, and the water droplets flashed like white sparks in the moonlight. As Wakantanka replied, what is that in your hand? And he replied, a stone. He said, drop it on the ground. And he dropped it, and it became a turtle with a hoop inscribed on the back of its shell. Moonlight flared in the eyes of the great wolf as Wakantanka said, pick it up. One who stands before his people grasped the shell of the turtle, and it became a stone again. That they will believe that Wakantanka, the Great Spirit, did appear to you. But one who stands before his people spoke up again and said, please, O Great Spirit, I have never been a man of words, either in times past or since you have spoken to me. When speaking the words of the white men, my tongue is tied in knots. And the teeth of the wolf flashed in the darkness as a low growl rumbled deep in its throat. Wakantanka replied, who is it that gives man speech or makes him deaf or dumb, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Great Spirit? And one who stands before his people was afraid again and said, please, O Great Spirit, make someone else your agent. And then Wakantanka became angry. And the great wolf hunched as if to spring, with hackles bristling and bare teeth, and bright eyes blazing in the light of the full moon. A wind hissed through the pine trees near the river, and time stood still as one who stands before his people waited. I will send you a white brother. One I know speaks readily. Even now he is setting out to meet you, and he will be happy to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with you and with him as you speak and tell both of you what to do. And he shall speak for you to the people. The great wolf turned and leapt into the river with a great splash, casting a shower of silver sparks into the sky before disappearing. Five 500 miles to the south, in the community of Nashota House, a man checked the gear in his wagon for the last time. He planned on leaving the following morning at first light and wanted to make sure that all was in order before retiring. As he moved from the stable to the dormitory, he heard the mournful cry of a wolf in the distance. He stopped in the frosty air and looked up at the full moon. His name is Dr. James Lloyd Breck, and he will be leaving in the morning on a journey to St. Paul, Minnesota, where he is planning on starting a new mission. Back in the north, on the shores of Gull Lake, Enmagabo, one who stands before his people, returns to his wigwam to tell his wife that he will be making a journey south in the spring to the great white village of St. Paul. He will be bringing his son with him in hopes of finding someone who can teach him. Iron Sky Woman asked, "Do you know anyone in St. Paul?" As the howl of a wolf echoed through the night, and Magabo replied, "I will when I see him." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.